오마기아나 스미란 타스 기아나는 제나 샬라카야 착슈르 밀리탐 예나 테스마이 슈그르베나마하.
There are many, many subjects we can talk about. Even in this material world, there are many subjects we can discuss. Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Ninang Santi Sahasra Shah. There are many subjects to discuss in this material world. Apashyatam Atmatatam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. But those who are Grihamedhis, or those who are simply tied up like an animal to the pole of worldly sense enjoyment in the form of family life, they have many topics to discuss which are not on the subject of Atmatatva. Not on the subject of understanding the soul, who we are, who is the Supreme Soul, and what is our relationship with Him. So even in this material world, which is the outhouse, which is like the rejected place, the place for the rejects, the prison house, there are so many subjects to discuss. So what to speak of the spiritual world? There are many, many subjects. So many things to discuss about Krishna. But I thought to discuss today a very, in one sense, very basic topic. Basic, that can mean something primary or something in the beginning stage, but basic also gives the idea of a base, foundation. If we don't understand what is the importance of Krishna consciousness, then we won't take it serious. If we don't take it seriously, then we won't be Krishna conscious. But in this regard, there is a verse spoken by Lord Krishna, who is the object of Krishna consciousness, who is also personally Krishna conscious. You'll find that Krishna, when he gets up in the morning, he meditates on himself. It is not recommended for me or you, although we generally do it anyway. But we are recommended to meditate on Krishna, who is the supreme object of meditation, who is himself supremely Krishna conscious. So Krishna has instructed Lagvasi Durlagamidam Bahusam Bhavante Manusham Artidam Anityam Apihadhiram Turanam Yateta Napatet Anumitya Yavan Nishriyasaya Vishyakalu Sarvatasya. This is one of the basic important verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that points us towards the importance of this human form of life. Now we are in the human form of life. It is very rare to get this human form of life, but having obtained it, after many, many births, we attain this human form of life. We should take advantage, because this human form of life is arthadam. It can give to us the actual purpose or the actual meaning of existence. Even though this human form of life is temporary, very short. We won't be here long. So many buildings have come up here. And so many people may be coming and using these buildings. We are seeing these buildings now. Quite likely these buildings will last longer than we do in these bodies. You'll see many houses. It's written on the house. 1892. We build that house. It's not here. The house is still there. Even bricks and mortar are more lasting than this human body. So this human life is anitya. Anitya api. Even though this human form of life, as any form of life, it is temporary, is not lasting. Nevertheless, a person who is very intelligent, dhira, person who is dhira gives the idea of someone who is in control of the senses and therefore introspective, calm, not frantic, not frantically running around all over the universe trying to find some sense gratification, but peacefully considering what is the purpose of life. So a person who is very calm, introspective, these words are dhira. Manishina means thoughtful philosopher. Vichakshana, one who sees and considers very carefully. These are various words used for intelligent, thoughtful people. So what do? They consider that even though this human form of life it is temporary, nevertheless, before this body falls down again at the time of death, we should utilize it to attain the actual purpose of life, which is Krishna consciousness. So then we may say, well, what about enjoying yourself? Aren't you going to enjoy yourself? Aren't you going to enjoy sense gratification? You've got this body, you have senses, you can use it for sense enjoyment. But Krishna points out that Vishaya Khalu Sarvatasya, that sense gratification is available in all species of life. We've already done it. Whatever we're dreaming of doing, whether it's, who knows, there are so many things we can have an ambition to do. To be. Someone has the ambition to be the world champion chess player. Someone has the ambition to swim the English Channel back and forward in record time. Someone has an ambition to lift more weights than anybody else. Someone has an ambition to marry the girl next door. Maybe not such a big ambition. Someone has an ambition to marry the housewife next door. Already married. There's so many ambitions. Someone has an ambition to live a peaceful life. I live as I am. So many things we can do, but we've already done it. Whatever you want to enjoy in this material world, we've already enjoyed. Maybe not in exactly the same way. But what is enjoyment in this material world anyway? Eating, sleeping, making, defending. In pleasures of the eyes, pleasures of the tongue, pleasures of the belly and the genitals, we've enjoyed it. Of course, there are many different kinds of foods. We may not have enjoyed them all. There are limited kinds of things you can eat. The black widow spider enjoys eating her husband. So, when we were in the black widow form of life, we may have become a black widow, or we may have become a black widow's meal, mainly her husband. There are so many different forms of sense gratification. There are so many things you can eat, but it's all different permutations and combinations of sense gratification. So Krishna says, sense gratification is available everywhere. You've already had that. You've already done that. It didn't satisfy us anywhere. It's the very nature of sense gratification that it doesn't satisfy. There are unlimited permutations and combinations of sense gratification. As Prabhupada pointed out, that people, they have their wife at home, but still they like to go to the club to enjoy some young girls. It's the same thing. But they're thinking, variety, I will enjoy. But they're not enjoying. So Krishna says, having obtained this rare human form of life, we should take opportunity and become fully Krishna conscious. In the same section of Bhagavatam, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava, you'll find in the 11th canto, he specifically speaks to those who have taken to spiritual life. Those who have not yet taken to spiritual life, they are exhorted in this verse I just quoted, they are exhorted to take to Krishna consciousness. Think what you are doing. Utishta, jagata, prapya varang nibodhata. Wake up, get up. Utishta, get up. Jagata, wake up. Attain the valuable boon of the human form of life. There are so many statements like this in Shastra. But Krishna also addresses those who have already taken to Krishna consciousness not to waste this opportunity. Nidehaṁ ādyaṁ sulabhaṁ sudurlabhaṁ lavansukalpo guru kārnadhāraṁ mayānukulena lavasvitaritam pumān. Pumān bhavatim nabhavet nataret sa ātmaha. Krishna says that this human form of life, it's very rarely obtained, but we got it. Somehow or other, here we are now in the human form of life. So this human form of life is compared to Bhavabdin. Not Bhavabdin, Bhavabdin. Kuman Bhavabdin. This human form of life is compared to a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. To cross an ocean, it's not a we hear these examples, ocean. Crossing an ocean is not a very easy thing, not by swimming. Maybe a very expert swimmer, you're not going to cross an ocean by swimming. Nor are there other examples given, nor by catching the tail of a dog. If you see a dog that's swimming, you may think that, see, he's swimming, so I have to cross the ocean. I have to go from London to New York. So there's one dog swimming. And save me the plane thing. I'll catch his tail. It's a foolish proposition. But this one example is given in the Bhagavatam, that trying to cross the ocean by inappropriate means is foolish. Another example is given of a stone boat. If you take shelter of Chitta, so-called spiritualist, it's like getting into a stone boat. Can you imagine what happens to a stone boat? It bloops. It sinks. But the human form of life, it is intrinsically a suitable vessel for crossing the ocean. And to cross the ocean, even if you have a boat, you can't cross unless you know how to ply the boat. If you have to know all the different paths, there may be certain paths through the ocean. Because in the ocean, it looks the same on the surface, but within the ocean, there are so many undercurrents. So there are certain routes you should go, and you should know which route to take that you'll catch the nice wind, which will take you nicely. So for that, we require an expert captain. Someone who can guide very nicely. So that is the guru, guru karna dharan. Guru are the expert spiritual masters compared to the captain who is competent to guide the boat. But then even if you have a good captain and you have a good boat, if you don't get the proper winds to guide you, then you'll also be stuck. There are some parts of the ocean. What's that called? Where they go and there's no wind, and the boats used to go, doldrums. Yeah. The boat would go and they'd just be stuck and can't move at all. So you have to, the sailors are hoping for the favorable winds. So Krishna says that my instruction, the Shastra, that is like the favorable wind. So we have all these opportunities. Those are taken to Krishna consciousness. They have the human form of life. It's favorable for becoming Krishna conscious. They have the spiritual master, expert captain to guide the boat. They have the favorable winds, which are Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Tak, how do you say? As it is. Bhagavad Gita, I'm saying that because sometimes Prabhupada would say that we have to study Bhagavad Gita as it is. You'd make the point. We have to study Bhagavad Gita as it is. So with all these opportunities, if we fail to cross the ocean, then we are just like cutting our own throats, spoiling our opportunity. We should realize the importance. We see, actually, many people take to Krishna consciousness. Not so many, but not very high percentage in human society. Many people take to Krishna consciousness. Why do they do that? There may be different reasons. Krishna has suggested in Bhagavad Gita. They may be distressed, desiring wealth, inquisitive, or in knowledge. There may be different reasons why people take to Krishna consciousness. There may be some different motivations. You see that people take to Krishna consciousness and they experience something. Otherwise, why should they do it? Often people probably ask you, well, how long have you been practicing this Krishna consciousness? Isn't it? People ask you when you go preaching, you meet people. Yes, how long have you been doing it? So in my case, I have to say now 25 years. So then they ask, well, are you happy? Do they ask that to you also? So I say that, well, if I wasn't happy, then why should I do it? No one's forcing. No one comes with a gun and tells me to get up from Mongolia. It's not a bad idea. Bucket of water, that's a good idea. That's the old system. 4:05, you're not up. You don't want to take a shower? Well, we'll save you the trouble of getting up and taking a shower. We'll give you one right here.
They used to do that?
Oh, yeah. That was the more mild temple commanders. Others would throw you down the stairs. Or otherwise they might drag you to the shower in your sleeping bag. There are various techniques. That was the good old days. So anyway, no one's forcing us. We're doing it. We voluntarily accept the discipline. We voluntarily accept. So why should we do that? If we want, we can, it might take a few years, but we can grow our hair down to our waist, or whatever the latest hairstyle is, green, blue, red, and that was a few years ago. You must be not what the latest hairs. I can't imagine what they're doing.
They still do that.
So there are so many things you can do. I can go to university and get my degree in chartered accountancy and have a very interesting job as a chartered accountant and earn lots of money and be a respectable person. There are so many things I can do in this material world. I don't have to chant Hare Krishna. I can be a normal person. Normal. Normal according to the opinion of human society. So why should anyone do this unless they're getting some taste? Rising early, chanting the holy names, not watching TV, not going to cinema, only studying some books like this. People ask me, have you read this book? Yeah, about 15 times. Why should you read again and again? Why should you do it? Because you must be getting something, not getting paid. So definitely there is a taste in Krishna consciousness. Every one of us, we all go through ups and downs, isn't it? Sometimes we feel maybe not so happy, but then we can always consider, every one of us at some point in time, we've all cried some tears for Krishna, I hope. We should be crying all the time. And at some point in time we've experienced some great happiness in Krishna consciousness. Krishna has revealed some of His mercy to us. We've all experienced the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, is it not? Actually we should experience this all the time. But at least sometimes we can say, even when we're feeling, sometimes by the influence of the modes of nature, Maya is calling, we may be feeling that, well, this isn't so good, or I'm not getting anywhere, or maybe I should be doing something else. Maya calls like this, we can't deny. Otherwise, why do some people go away? Because they've heard the call of Maya, and they say, okay, I'm coming. When you come back, I'm sorry I kicked you in the face so many times through so many births, but this time I'll be nice. This time I'll be very nice to you. I'm not so bad. And I'll be very kind to you. So Maya is calling, and sometimes devotees, they've got instructions of Guru, they've got the Shastra, they've got the opportunity to associate with devotees, they have all the facilities to become fully Krishna conscious, and they're much happier in this life than anyone. Even you may have anything you could dream for in this material world, but it doesn't make us happy. Those who are preachers, they see all different kinds of people. And you meet so many people, rich people, sometimes famous people you must have met in the course of so many years at LAX. You must have run into so many famous people, but they're not any happier than anyone else. It's a big myth that people, money gives you more happiness. It's absolutely not true at all. Usually they're in more anxiety. That's my experience. And more money gives you more anxiety. So it's a great myth that we will be happy in material life. But Maya is calling like that. So Krishna is advising us, don't give up this opportunity. Keep on going in Krishna consciousness. Keep on trying to become Krishna conscious. Sometimes devotees say that, well, you know, I don't really feel like I'm making any progress. But then, what is the alternative? Even if we accept, we don't know actually what progress we're making. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, we're making progress in Krishna consciousness. It's pleasing to Krishna. Even we're chanting with mixed motives or not very attentively, but as much sincerity is there, we're making progress towards Krishna. So we may not even see the progress we are making. But even if we accept that we're not making much progress, then what is the alternative? Should we go back to material life? Can we be happy serving Maya? Is it possible? Just see the whole world. Is anyone happy in this world? If we think so, that is, of course, a great illusion. It's not simply something that's stated in Bhagavad Gita, and therefore we have to accept it, that this material world is moving. Just look and see. Is anyone happy? No one is happy. Who are happy people? Devotees. Actually, those who are giving their lives to Krishna, those who have faith in Krishna, those who like to serve Krishna, those who like to chant Hare Krishna, they're experiencing happiness. It may not be the full happiness of fully realize, Paramahamsas, we may not be on the level of the fully realized devotees, but even in our neophyte stage, Krishna consciousness is whatever Krishna consciousness we have, that reciprocation. Krishna says, Yayatamangabadate, Tangsataiva Bajamiya. So as much as we are Krishna conscious, Krishna reciprocates. How are devotees dancing in kirtan? What is that dancing? It's not the same dancing as Prabhupada used to say, like ballroom dance. Now there's disco dance, and there may be so many other kinds of dance which I'm not aware of. But that kind of dancing, that is enacted from the platform of trying to enjoy the senses for sense gratification. And dancing for Krishna, it's the body is moved by the spiritual energy of Krishna. Even though we're not on the platform of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said that the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were berating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you dancing? And he said, well, it's not my fault, I can't help it. When I chant Hare Krishna, naturally I dance. The name of Krishna makes me dance. So we may not be on that platform, may not be. But the dancing in kirtan, that is proof that the spiritual energy that is flowing. Krishna is giving that mercy. It requires some mercy to dance in kirtan. If we don't have an attitude of service to Krishna, if we don't have an attitude of wanting to be Krishna conscious, so we can't dance. Sometimes you see devotees who somehow or other stumble into the kirtan and they just stand in the corner. You're not very happy. Why is that? Well, there could be many reasons, but it could be classified under one major heading called Maya. They're not thinking how to please Krishna, of course. The nature of kirtan is that somehow or other, if you shake them a little bit and get them to dance, they're by nature kirtan, that Krishna reciprocates. Kirtan means glorification of Krishna. Krishna is kirtan. Krishna is his holy name. So if we just somehow or other, even mechanically, try to dance in kirtan, then Krishna will start to reciprocate within our hearts. But the dancing, of course, sometimes dancing kirtan is sometimes a little false ego or trying to show off some physical abilities or some such thing. But basically, dancing in kirtan means that is Krishna's mercy on the devotees, that he's reciprocating. He's revealing himself to the devotee. That is the happiness of the devotee. The devotee can work all day for Krishna. His happiness is simply, let me have the opportunity to associate with devotees, chant and dance in kirtan. So it is a reality. Just let us consider the experience, Krishna says, pratyakshabhagamam tamyam susukam kartamavriya, that we can directly experience the happiness of serving Krishna. It's a fact. We're experiencing at this Mayapur festival, isn't it? That there are certain physical austerities which probably normally we wouldn't dream of undergoing. That maybe rising early in the morning, it's been very cold, and taking bath in the dark in a tube well, and so many mosquitoes and crowds, and they may be finding it very hot. But there may be so many different austerities, but at the same time we're feeling a certain kind of happiness that has got nothing to do with the physical conditions. According to the, no one goes on a holiday to give an advertisement. Go on a holiday to a place where you get woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you have to take a cold shower outside in the dark, and they're a special feature. 200 mosquitoes per square inch. Clouds of mosquitoes. Interesting wildlife. No one does. They're not advertising such a place. So physically, it's not. No one comes to such a place for enjoyment. They like some nice beach. And oh, there's no alcohol either. No alcohol served. No drugs. No intoxication, no illicit sex. But the devotees are experiencing great happiness in this festival, isn't it? Despite all the difficulties, we like to come again and again. Sometimes I'm in Maya, I think, well, shall I go to Mayapur festival this year or not? Oh, it's a long way to go. It doesn't make much difference where I'm going. But it makes a difference to me. I become inspired to see so many devotees coming from all over the world, so many local people coming from all over Bengal, how they're enjoying. They go through so many difficulties, just like you. They have to save up their money to come. You're coming from some thousands of miles away. They may just come from a short distance, but they have to save their money. They come squeezing up on the train and taking a bus. And they come, and they're very happy to see the deities, the devotees. They take pleasure in that, so we also take pleasure to them. How they're coming. So many people coming to take darshan of Radha Madhava. And they come to take darshan of you also. Do you know that? They like to see all the Western devotees especially. They get some inspiration. Just like we get inspiration seeing so many people coming and taking darshan of Radha Madhava. They also get inspiration. So that, the point I'm making is that Krishna consciousness, there is tangible happiness. It's not, we're discussing philosophy, as Prabhupada says, that this Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It's not simply something that we're trying. Krishna consciousness is some kind of artificial understanding that we're trying to fit ourselves into, but it is our natural constitutional position. And we, even in the beginning of practice of Krishna consciousness, even though we do have so many anarthas, but we can feel that in our lives, Krishna's mercy, that this, the beginning of spiritual happiness, even the beginning of spiritual happiness that we get, even in our neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness, that far surpasses anything that this material world has got to offer. That we can consider as a fact. Not that we have to convince ourselves, but we can practically experience. And we see the devotees, those who have dedicated, those, the more they dedicate themselves to Krishna, the more serious they become. You can see devotees, they shine with spiritual happiness, isn't it? Devotees, I heard this story a long time ago, that in one of the airports in New York, they wanted to arrest the devotees who were performing the horrible activity of distributing books in the airport. So any new worker at the airport, they were taught how to recognize the Hare Krishna devotees. How to find, you know this? You heard me tell this before. That you'll find they have, either they have a wig on or a hat. They have a book bag. They have a bag with, you can see a lot of books inside it. And you'll see they have this big smile on their face. If you see anyone with a smile on their face, arrest him immediately. Must be a Hare Krishna devotee. You can see that many times. I think you almost have had that experience. Sometimes you're on a city street and you hear ching 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 ching. It's a Hare Nam party. And then you go and meet them and you see that I remember the first time I saw it on Oxford Street in London. There's so many thousands of people from all over the world coming to enjoy themselves. And apart from the clouds, which are almost always there in London anyway, there's like a big cloud hanging over them. They're all just a big cloud of distress. There's a mass aura of grief. They come to be happy, but they're just in so much anxiety and frustration. And then you see the devotees, and it's like the sun coming through the clouds. And even if there's only four or five of them, so bright and effulgent. So definitely the devotees, especially those who dedicate themselves more and more, they shine with the happiness of Krishna consciousness. This just shows. This is tangible. Of course, there's no ometer to measure this. There's no shine-ometer. You can't measure with... There's no scientific instrument. There may be, I don't know, to measure aura or something. But we can see how devotees, they tangibly develop spiritual happiness, spiritual potency. Nevertheless, come back to the sad point. Some are going away. Some are going away, even having taken to Krishna consciousness. They're spoiling their opportunity. Of course, then, whatever they did is not lost. Neha bhikkhavo nashasti pratyavayana vidyate swapanapya siddhanasa trayate mahatobaya. Whatever is performed in Krishna consciousness are permanent assets, as long as we don't make offenses. Even then the asset is there, but it becomes covered up. So that is our permanent asset. But having taken to Krishna consciousness, why not have the determination to go on, go through, and do whatever is required to go on with this process of Krishna consciousness and dedicate our lives to pleasing Krishna? We may think, well, I have so many anarthas, so many unwanted things in my heart. But nevertheless, certainly if we go on serving Krishna, especially if we try to serve in this preaching mission of Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much wants this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. So if we dedicate our lives in that, then surely Krishna will reciprocate. One devotee asked Prabhupada that. Prabhupada, he asked about, well, will they go back to Godhead? The devotees who spend their lives in preaching Krishna consciousness, even they may have different anarthas or impurities. Prabhupada said that we are sending people back to Godhead. Then we also won't go? Krishna will certainly reciprocate. That is our hope. And even the devotee, he thinks, even if I don't go back to Godhead, still I have to serve Krishna. Later, as Prabhupada, he finished writing that long essay in praise of his spiritual master, that I have no hope of personal service for the coming crores of sojourns of my birth. And Prabhupada, it's some poetic language. He said, Prabhupada wrote that I have no hope, Prabhupada wrote this, of direct service to Krishna, for the coming crores of my birth. You don't know what crore means? Crore means 10 million. Common word. So Prabhupada was writing like that. But nevertheless, my aspiration is to go on serving lotus feet of my spiritual master. So a devotee who has that feeling that I must go on serving Krishna, despite my inability to do so, then Krishna will certainly be very kind to him. So let us take this opportunity. Consider how fortunate we are to have this opportunity to engage in Krishna service. Let us go on with it. We want to see a devotees coming again and again and again and again and again. Not that, of course, that will be there, as Prabhupada said. Actually, Bhaktisthana Sarasvati gave that example for us. In a war, there will be casualties. That is inevitable. Some will come and go. But let us try to minimize the casualty rate. Let us, every one of us, be serious in Krishna consciousness to practice the rules and regulations very carefully. Consider what is the importance of Krishna consciousness. Not go back to that horrible life of trying to forget Krishna. Let us take this very seriously and let us help each other also to come up in Krishna consciousness. Devotees, they have to help each other. Prabhupada many times gave that example that one twig can easily be broken, but many twigs bundled together cannot be broken. So unity comes, unity gives strength. The devotees have to help each other. Sankirtan, not nirjan bhajan. Nirjan bhajan means simply chanting by yourself, thinking about your own benefit only. But sankirtan means what is that? Bahudva gayanti ti sankirtan. That many singing or chanting together, that is called sankirtan, sangha. Many in association chanting together. The kirtan, of course, that means singing. And kirtan means glorification of Krishna. This is called the sankirtan movement. Because the whole movement is meant for, everything we do is meant supposed to be for the glorification of Krishna. So sankirtan altogether. Devotees glorifying Krishna, helping each other to become Krishna conscious. And this kind of discussion we should discuss. How valuable is Krishna consciousness? How seriously we should take it? How important it is to follow all the rules and regulations, how important it is to follow the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, trying to chant attentively, rising early, eating only Krishna prasadam, studying Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, all these basic principles. Prabhupada, as early as 1970, he told the devotees that if you simply follow whatever I've said, and you simply follow these things throughout your life, you will certainly go back to Godhead. These very basic, simple processes have been given to us. So let us follow them, not become impatient or obstinate or foolish. Just simply go on with this process. Very nice process. Chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. Then, as much as we surrender to that process by accepting, yes, I'm a servant of Krishna, that's all I want to do, is serve Krishna. Then, gradually, Krishna will reveal himself and we'll gradually feel more and more happiness. That is Krishna consciousness. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. That development, actually we should develop in Krishna consciousness. We should, if we're feeling miserable or something, that means not Krishna consciousness. So if we're feeling any such thing, we're not feeling very happy or something, then we should see what is the problem. It means we're not properly following the process. Because if we're actually following the process of Krishna consciousness, then we must be happy because it is the constitutional position of the jiva to be in the service of Krishna and to be happy as Krishna is in his service. So this introspection is also required. And the determination. From the beginning there should be the determination that whatever happens, I must stick to this process of Krishna consciousness, pray to Guru and Krishna to help us go on, but at the same time we have to have our own determination to go on. And that determination in itself is pleasing to Krishna. We may have, it is inevitable, we're weak, neophyte devotees, so it is inevitable that we may have some struggles, some misapprehensions or doubts, but despite the difficult, that actually is a time where our Krishna consciousness is more tested and we can make more advancement, because in that situation we can apply ourselves more and go on with the determination that even though my rascal nonsense mind may be saying so many things, nevertheless I have to go on with this process. And then Krishna will again bless us. Krishna tests us in many ways. There may be so many doubts or so many temptations from Maya, but if we simply have that determination, let me stick to Krishna consciousness, I have nothing else to do. Everything else is useless and meaningless. If we have that attitude to go on with Krishna consciousness throughout our lives, then certainly Krishna will continue to reciprocate. So that should be our determination. We should all be coming to Mayapur festival regularly, year after year, as much as possible, because it may be financially or otherwise difficult for some. Or, if not every year to Mayapur festival, we should be going on with the daily festival of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a daily festival. What does the festival mean? Singing, dancing, party, friends, food. That's a festival. The materialist thing is materialist or spiritual. Festival means chant, singing, some music, dancing, some nice food, all that. The Krishna consciousness every day. People think it's a very special thing to go for a dance. I've worked like an ass all week, and now I'm going to dance like a monkey at the end of the week. So that's a special thing for them. But for a devotee, it's a daily activity. That was a very strong realization for me when I first came to the temple, ISKCON temple, just outside London. And by force of circumstance, I was forced to stay overnight. So unknowingly, I didn't realize, but I was got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which was, you know, I never thought of such a thing. I didn't know any people did such a thing. So, and then, you know, after a cold shower, which was another shock, there's snow outside. There's no hot water. So then, you know, then I saw it in a freezing cold temple room. There's no heating. No snow outside. What happened? No, it's all right. So, there's nothing to do anymore. So I saw devotees are dancing at 4:30 in the morning. They're singing songs in praise of God and dancing. I understood these people have definitely got something. They're not intoxicated, and they're up early. They're so enthusiastic for this that they rise at such a time, and they're dancing in praise of God. They've definitely got something which I haven't got. They have some experience of God. So this is reality. Let's go on with it. Reality, what is the nature of reality? So many philosophers are discussing. Reality means to rise early in the morning, go to Mangalati and dance for Krishna. And everything else that follows after that. So let us go on with that. It's eternal. What do you do when you go to the spiritual world? You sit on a cloud, strum a harp, dancing with Krishna. It's eternal activity. Gauranga Nritta Nitta. Jagadananda Pandit, he says. Gauranga Nritta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing Nitta. That is eternal. It goes on forever. Eternal dance. With Krishna. For Krishna, with Krishna. In pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of dancing, and Krishna full of dancing. That Nietzsche, the famous atheist, he sarcastically said, I could believe in God if he danced. Unfortunately for him, he left his body before Prabhupada came to the West. Anyway, he may get the chance and maybe reborn somewhere. But he had some realization. Why should God be an angry old man on a cloud? If he's a taller super person, he should be dancing. That's a fact. The topmost expression of happiness is dancing. That's the Hare Krishna movement. Dancing. Anandi Balo Hari Bhajya Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayama. Anandi Balo Hari means chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Bhajya Vrindavan, worship Krishna in the land of Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayama, and let your mind be absorbed in the happiness of serving Guru and Vaishnava. That is Krishna consciousness. So let us stick to that. Life after life. That we have to pray for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. I should also do. My position is sitting here talking big things, but I should also pray for your mercy. And we've seen many big talkers. talk is cheap, as they say. Actual realization is something else. We should beg for the mercy of all the Vaishnavas to give us the blessing to go on with this Krishna consciousness, to go on and improve. Like to say anything, Vijay Prabhu, must be having so many realizations. You like to say anything? Any questions? Comment?
We can't deny the right intention of everything.
I discussed this in some detail last night. I think you maybe were not here. I gave a lecture on following Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Guru means who gives spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge comes from Shastra or revealed scripture. So if maybe someone has a tape of that, you could listen to that. I discussed that in some detail. And we have to follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So shall we chant Hare Krishna and be happy?
When I see my child, I could say, when I see him distribute books, then I see chasing, and then he is smiling, and then I see the fire in him, and the happiness in him, on the moment that he is distributing books.
Oh, that's very nice. Where is he distributing books?
In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
Oh yeah, you have seen him do it.
Must be a lot of mercy for distributing books in Amsterdam.
As you can see the difference.
It has the distinction of being maybe the most degraded. Oh, you're distributing books in Amsterdam.
I'm not his son, but his son was also in Australia with Rupa and myself.
There's a lot of mercy for distributing in sinful places. Amsterdam is really dedicated to being the most simple city in the world. They're proud of it. I spent one day. I was there for one day. It was quite an experience. I had quite a few adventures. Quite a place.
I just want to know, is it proper to advance from the Guru who get the inspiration from what kind of service would bring in spiritual master and use it to take initiation? Because after initiation, maybe his instruction may be different from what the disciple is getting.
I don't really understand the question, but anyway, can follow the instructions of Guru. It's a basic principle, that's what it is.